From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means finding balance in body, mind, and spirit. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And in line with the holistic leanings that I take and talk about very often on the show, which, as I said, is body, mind, and spirit, today's focus is going to be more on the spiritual aspect of personal growth and psychotherapy, which is something that not all therapists are particularly comfortable dealing with. When I talk about spirituality, I'm not necessarily talking about religion, something organized. We're talking, and I talk about the essence of knowing, say as the 12 steps talk about, a power greater than yourself, something that to me is around you and within you, and the essence of who you are that gives you life and gives you a sense of being when, well, it's always doing that, but it actually is working with you and working for you when you get a more conscious connection to that voice. And today that voice on the show, we are definitely talking about love. And I'm going to introduce my guest in a few minutes. His name is Guy Finley, and he's the author of many books. But in particular, we're going to be talking about a new book he has out called Apprentice of the Heart. And the title of today's show is Love's Lessons in All Its Forms in All of Our Life. And to remind you, this is a live call-in show. And if you're in the Phoenix area listening to KXAM, the phone number is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. If you're listening via the Internet, as I know since I've gotten calls and emails from a number of you that live outside the Phoenix area, the number is the same. It's a toll call for you, but certainly well worth making, is 480-949-1310. Now, in dealing with spirituality, and psychotherapy, I turn to a lot of my own teachings and teachers. And you've heard me talk about, in fact, Sandra Ray was actually a guest on my show about a year ago. And her first, one of her second book, actually, Loving Relationships, defines relationship as something that we have with everything. We are in relationship with our bodies, in relationship with our family, in relationship maybe with a significant other or a lover, in relationship with money, in relationship with our car, in relationship with our careers. And the essence there is to actually have a deeper, more divine connection with those things. Other forms that I've studied is science of mind, which talks about love being in everything. My ex-wife was a Christian scientist, and back in my younger days, there was something that drew me to the philosophy that, you know, God is love, and God is nature, and God is laughter, and in other words, God or spirit is in everything. So if you're not comfortable with the word God, we will use the word spirit. Use whatever word is comfortable for you. Another thing that I've studied is the Course in Miracles, which says there are two basic states, and one is love and one is fear. Jerry Jampolsky's book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, speaks of the same thing, which is based on The Course in Miracles, that when we transcend our fear of whatever, our fear of making a decision in career, our fear of being fully present, our fear of taking certain risks to move further along in our own journey, where we connect to is a loving, divine space. So, the way I work with my clients, and the way you've heard me speak many times, is we are always hearing voices within us. Sometimes it's a subconscious voice. Sometimes if we're really working on our issues and further along on our journey, we're more conscious of the voices. And love is always speaking to us. Love is always teaching. And the whole idea for me in psychotherapy is learn to listen to those voices, because there's more than one. Fear is one of the voices, love is one of the voices, and the essence of growth and love and feeling the journey that we're on is learning to differentiate between the two voices and come to a place where you know which voice is that voice of love and which is the voice encouraging you to move to greater heights in your life and greater connection to other human beings and a more peaceful connection with spirit. That's the essence of today's show. And with all that being said, I want to really welcome my guest today. His name is Guy Finley, as I said. He's written many books. He's a speaker. He's been on many TV and radio shows. He has an incredible website called The Life of Learning Foundation at GuyFinley.com, where you can get a lot of information, a lot of gifts, know his schedule, listen to a number of his own shows. Guy, I want to welcome you to today's show, and I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
The one thing that I noticed in reading your book, Apprentice of the Heart, is that it's basically a love story, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. It is basically a love story.
And you write each chapter as if it's a love letter to someone, but essence of it is that it's a love letter to spirit and something that obviously each chapter is written very poetically and is there to get people deeper into thinking about their own connection to spirit. Talk about your way of defining love, and I know you talk about it in a divine love context, but how did you get to that place and how do you define it?
Well, the thing is that when we start to define love, we often wind up getting ourselves into a little bit of trouble. One of the ways in which I think is good to look at the idea of love and to welcome, if you will, not so much a mental construct of it, but a kind of emotional vision of it. I liken it in some ways to being similar to a set of stairs, the lower stairs being symbolic of our early stages of relationship with others, with life, where by and large we're mostly interested only in what we can get for ourselves, and that perhaps a little further up that set of stairs, we begin to have a wish to be a better person because the object that we love, the person or nature or whatever it is that we're drawn to, it begins to awaken us a little bit to where it is that there are features of us that stand in the way, where maybe fear or some kind of anxiousness limits the relationship, and we want to please the other person, so we begin to want to change ourselves. Then a little further up that stairway, we can talk about a person who starts to recognize how really silly it is to think that this planet and all of the resources on it are here just for his or her enjoyment, just their pleasure, that we are indeed higher in this level of love, beginning to recognize our unity with the life around us and our responsibility and accountability towards it. And then lastly, higher up on that set of stairs, if you will, the individual comes to one of the points of the book and to what you've been saying, that we are here as human beings to discover that it isn't so much that we're searching for love as much as it is that love has invited us into a direct relationship with her, with that divine spirit, wherein there is no sense of separation between ourselves and that which we love. And so that would be the culmination of that step, of that set of steps, and the whole stairway being love, and the individual steps being the different expressions of love as we recognize and experience them in our individual lives.
The what you're saying is actually something that I often say. One of the things that I do is I'm also a rebirther. And the form of breath work that I do is really the essence of it, is to help people detox the behavior patterns, the belief systems that are fear-based and that do interfere with a very natural state of being. My definition of intimacy is that it's an expression of our natural state, our natural desire for connection. And what you're saying, which I totally agree with, is being in that state of love, that state of divine connection, is a natural place to be, where many of us interpret it as something so foreign and something so unknown.
But what I
hear you saying is, what I agree is, that it's a natural state of being that we desire to get back to. It's a place we were born into.
There's a wonderful idea, a quote that I've always carried in my mind. Albert Einstein said that the central urge of every atom is to return to its source. And the individual lessons that constitute the middle part of Apprentice of the Heart are all about these kinds of things that we have more or less forgotten about because we're so captivated by the world around us and actually trying to answer this innate affinity, this call that is seated in the center of our hearts that says, you know what? You do want to be connected in a more deep manner to whatever it is that we're drawn to, because we inherently, intuitively recognize that it is through relationship and the expansion of it, the deepening of it, that we become more and more conscious of all of the parts of ourselves that without those relationships remain uninvestigated, unexplored. So we're drawn by love into these various relationships for the purpose of allowing love to illuminate in us, through our relationships, that which we long to rediscover and reclaim, if you will, to begin this journey of reclaiming our true humanness, which has divinity in it.
Right. Which basically gets to the issue of the title of the book, Apprentice of the Heart.
Yeah.
I mean, one way of saying it is, that I use all the time, that every relationship is a classroom. Every relationship is an opportunity to learn. No, as long as you're willing to risk relationship, there's no failure involved.
That's precise, Stuart.
And as we start talking about the book now, I want to let my listeners know that Guy has been very gracious to offer a free copy of the book to the first caller that calls in today. And again, that number is 480-949-1310. So if any of you would like a copy of the book, the first caller will get a copy of that sent to you. So let's talk about relationships being risky in most of our minds, but also relationship being classroom, and how that applies to apprenticeship. In other words, the voice of love is the guide that we're talking about. And how do you define this being an apprentice of the heart?
Well, I think that what you touched upon runs very much to, excuse the pun, if you will, to the heart of my book, that all of us, from the very beginning, no matter what age we are created to be explorers of what seems to be a world outside of ourselves. But the truth is that eventually we recognize that all of the things that we go into, the people, the places, the things that we delve into to find out more about ourselves, that we slowly start to recognize that indeed I'm not really exploring things outside of myself, but rather I'm using things outside of myself as a way to explore the content of my own consciousness.
Right.
And gradually we start to recognize things that love has been trying to teach us, but that has been lost because of painful past experiences where not understanding the nature of love as love would have us understand it. Our minds were, if you will, taken over by a fearful nature that began to tell us that if we want love, love requires protecting ourselves at all times. And love is trying to teach us that every single thing that happens to us, no matter what it is, not just in relationships with others, but with every possible level of our experience on this planet, we are invited to realize that what we run into, if it hurts us, is not the condition that our mind blames for that pain, but merely something that is not united in our own consciousness, thereby prohibiting us from understanding the possibility of a deeper relationship. So, to sum that up, when we have pain or fear due to the loss of a relationship before that then says you better be careful this time around, we'd not receive the lesson of love. Love is trying to say there is always something deeper, something brighter, and something truer if you will let me teach you about yourself through these relationships.
And again, when you're talking about relationships, it's not always relationships with other human beings.
Right.
We're talking about even, you know, how many times have I had a client that comes in who's totally dissatisfied with job or career focus and things like that, and it's an issue of relationships that are speaking to us in every aspect of our lives.
Yes, very much so.
In other words, do what you love, whether it's career or hobby, but listen to what it is you really want to do.
So how is
this applied to, I'm a psychotherapist, so inevitably most people that enter who seek out therapy are usually doing so, and they don't usually put it in these terms. There's a sense of disconnect. There's a sense of disconnect from their lives, from their own sense of well-being, their own sense of happiness. Sometimes they focus it on their career. Sometimes it's about a marriage or a relationship. Sometimes it's about family or money. How is all of this applied to, let's say, those seeking therapy? I mean, let's put it in a psychotherapeutic framework, if you could.
I'll tell you, the most exciting thing that I know, and that is that we as human beings, having in us, as not just a feature of our being, but I think at the root of our being, have in us, Stuart, this quality, this capacity that we're calling love. And that this quality, this capacity that we have to love is exactly the same thing as our ability to become one with whatever it may be that we are drawn to. The ability to become one with whatever it is that we're drawn to means that as human beings, there is no such thing as anything that stands in our way at any time, because it is possible for us to transcend the inherent limitation of this thought nature, of this thinking self, and actually recognize a unity with whatever it is that we're drawn to. Now, an example of this, because it sounds sort of highfalutin and philosophical, but it's not. It's right down to earth. Who amongst us has not gone out on a late evening when the sun has the sky is that cerulean blue, and maybe the first stars are coming out, and when we walk outside and we see something in that sky, we feel a certain kind of timelessness, a certain depth that is ineffable, beyond our ability to describe. Now, that ineffable, undescribable divine feeling that we get when we look up at a night sky is not because the night sky is there. The night sky that we have temporarily, if you will, united with through attention and interest and love gives us a moment's recognition that within us, those qualities of timelessness and ineffability, they exist right in the center of us. So we actually, if you will, become one with not just the sky, but the parts in us that correspond to its depth and breadth. This is so powerful to understand, even if it's just on a small level, because it means that each of us has the ability through love to go beyond anything that stands in our way, no matter we think it's a job problem we've got, relationship problems, something that we're afraid of. It makes no difference what it is that we bring this willingness to learn the truth about it to. We can become one with whatever it is that we have interest in, and when we become one with it, as we merge through the property of love, lo and behold, we are no longer captives of that condition, but rather we stand within that condition as its governor, in command of it, as we are intended to be.
Beautifully put. You know, one with nature, and nature being spirit, nature being God, and us being nature also.
Yes.
Great. It reminds me, when I was in college and a few years after, I was a director of a cross-country teen tour, which basically, without trying to sound judgmental, took a lot of wealthy, spoiled kids from New York to California and back, camping out at state and national parks. And the group that I had my first year, the council, I was a counselor for a tent filled with 13-year-olds who really knew how to whine and complain throughout the whole trip.
That should have made a saint out of you, Stuart.
Well, they put me in the hospital in South Dakota at one point. But the most memorable thing of all the 4 years, one of the more memorable things of all the 4 years of me doing that, was traveling to all these wonderful places and these kids doing nothing but complain about food and wanting to hit a McDonald's and this and that. But when we got to the rim at sunset of Bryce Canyon in Utah, for the very first time, these 13-year-olds were speechless.
Yes.
And no matter how old you are, those 13-year-olds were in that moment you were just talking about.
Yes.
Something woke up in them that reminded them of what's really important. And for the rest of the summer, they were the most amazing group of kids I ever could have wanted to be with.
Yeah, see, that's right. Again, there you have what I call an apprentice of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that moment, for those children, just as for those of us for whom this is true, comes that moment, whether it's because we've had a practice of meditation or prayer, whether we have an interest in nature that takes us out so that we can find more communion with a greater life, something will touch us because we place ourselves where we can be touched. And when we are touched by love, at no matter what level of stair on that staircase, its inception in us is a kind of conception, because all of a sudden, now things that were formerly great, formerly desirable, seem less great and desirable to us, because now we want to return to that sense of ourself that was without the limitations, that without the self-judgment and the concern that we had before. And that's the journey of the heart. The book is about, really, in my opinion, that this life is a preparation for higher and higher forms of love to be born within us, and gradually, through being drawn to those kinds of higher loves, to actually be reborn ourselves as a new creature, because now love is the center of ourselves in its entirety.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention also, when we got on the phone before the show went on the air, I said that we are so much of like mind. And I'm really resonating with everything that you're saying, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners are. And there's a cellular memory, and one of the things I think you're talking about is how to reconnect with the memory of the essence that I said that as a rebirth, or I'm very aware of, you know, we're born with this connection, and we spend the rest of our lives consciously or subconsciously trying to reconnect it. When I told that story just a moment ago about those 13-year-olds at Bryce Canyon, my entire body went back to that memory. I was standing on the rim with them, and all of a sudden, this wave of awe and peace came over me as we were just talking, of observing those kids and connecting with their being in awe with what they were seeing. And to me, what I was experiencing observing them was as powerful as my looking at Bryce Canyon.
Well, that in truth, Stuart, as you know, there really is no separation
between
those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the beauty of love.
Mm-hmm.
When we fall in love with someone or something, We don't fall into that person. The kids didn't fall into Bryce Canyon.
Right. Well, they almost did.
Right? They fell into something that was connected to the canyon's view,
mm-hmm.
as well as to the viewer in them.
Right.
So that there was this common spirit that exists and unites these things when a person stands in the right place and is willing to let this unity reveal its never-ending presence in us. Not that we have to remember it. Really, the point of Apprentice of the Heart is so that people can begin over and over again to recognize that these lessons that love would have us learn, where instead of, for instance, there's a section in the book, and it's my, I think it's my favorite one. It's called The Love of Winter. And it's all about how, just like our earth has four seasons, there's a spring and a summer and the natural fruiting of everything, then a fall when the leaves start to go, and then the winter where everything is bare. Just exactly in the same way as there are seasons to the earth, there are seasons to the heart. But human beings have been led to believe that everything is supposed to be a perpetual springtime relative to the lessons that love would have us learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the relationship starts to go bad, or God forbid, the one that we love leaves this planet, we believe at that moment that the winter of the heart has set in, and that's the end of the heart.
Right.
And it's not. It's just a phase. It is just a certain season that if we will allow it to do what it wants to do, we ourselves will be refreshed with a new springtime, if you will, of love that shows us that all that was happening was that we had lessons that we had to learn about where we had become maybe attached or identified and therefore dependent and fearful, and that once we learn these lessons, little by little by little, we become more like, if you will, instead of someone experiencing these four seasons, we become the earth where these four seasons are going on all the time. So there's no longer this sense of loss, and not even a sense of gain, because love is complete in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is what we're looking for in our heart of hearts, is a love that never leaves us alone with its comforting presence and the power that comes with knowing that we're not alone.
Beautifully said. Guy, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And I want to remind the listeners that if you want a free copy of Guy's book, the first caller today is going to receive one, and the phone number is 480-949-1310. And this is Stuart Altshuler with Tell the Truth Faster, and my guest, Guy Finley, will be back in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. Guy, you there? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
And we actually have a caller on the line. So, caller, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Chris.
And where are you calling from, Chris?
I'm calling from Scottsdale.
Very good. So, before we're done with you, you need to make sure that the engineer gets your address so we can send you a copy of Guy's book, okay?
Okay.
So what's your question today?
Well, I just really had a question, but it was very interesting that I had just turned on my radio. I'm in a hotel, and they have them all pre-programmed, so I had to find get onto the station. And what he was talking about is just very relevant to me, because I can remember the exact moment when I was sitting on a stairwell, and it dawned on me that, you know, if you could just replace the word God with Mother Nature in the Bible, that would all make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was listening to him talk, I had only been listening for like 10 minutes, and then he said, well, we're going to break first call and get the free copy of the book. And I picked up the phone, and it was me. So it was just really pleasing. I'm just real interested to see the book.
Guy, you want to comment?
Only that I'm delighted that she's able to relate to what we're talking about, and more importantly, as I do with everyone that I ever speak to, let me encourage you to follow that part of you that remembers such a moment, because it really is just, it's an invitation. And I can pretty much guarantee, just like, your mother, when you were small, she wouldn't call you into dinner and then lock the door. So love when we get these little intimations from this broader kind of life. When we get those invitations, I tell you, the door not only remains wide open for us, but they put that same intelligence, puts more lights in the window. So hurry home.
Oh, I believe you. Yeah, you know, I'm a writer, and since then, and it's been like about 15 years ago, since then, you know, the more I pay attention to it, the more I see of it.
Yes.
And it's just incredible. It just, from then on, you know, my life became so much more broadened, and I just felt that, you know, the things I know and I learn, I know and learn for a reason, and to pass on, and to learn, and as well to enrich. So I'd be really pleased to get a copy of your book.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for calling in. And like I said, make sure the engineer gets an address, and if you should get disconnected, either call back with that or go to the website, Tell the Truth Fast, and you can leave me the information there, too.
Okay, good deal. Thanks.
All right, thanks for calling, Chris.
Just
if anyone else wants to call in, the number is 480-949-1310 if you have a question for Guy or myself or a comment on today's topic. Guy, let's talk about Life of Learning Foundation and your website. I know there's so much on there, not just about you, but information people can get and some free gifts that are there for people.
That wouldn't be much of a website if it was just about me.
Well, there are a lot of them out there.
I invite everyone, visit guyfinley.com, G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y. And if you go there, first, right on the homepage, Stuart, there's something called free gifts. And anyone who logs on can either download or request that it's sent in the mail a free poster that we have called 7 Ways to Get More Love into Your Life. It's a beautiful little free poster with helpful ideas on it. But more important, for those of us who want to continue working on ourselves and trying to change ourselves so that we can be better human beings, we have something called the Weekly Key Lesson. And once a week, Stuart, we send out a short, helpful idea, something that's usually very brief but very encouraging about these higher ideas. And I think that right now we have about 75,000 men and women each week receive these key lessons. So if you go to guyfinley.com, look under Key Lesson. It's right there on the homepage. You can sign up for it. You don't get a bunch of junk in the mail, I promise you that. And you'll get this weekly lesson. And lastly, The Apprentice of the Heart, my new book, is available in all the major stores. If they don't have it, they can get it right away. Certainly the online retailers all carry it. But for Stuart's listeners, anyone who wants the book, if you'll go to my website, it's secure, and order Apprentice of the Heart. When you get to the shopping cart, you'll see something that says coupon. And if you fill in the word there, radio, the foundation will discount the book 20% for you, plus we ship it free, which makes it probably the best deal anywhere in the country to get this new book of mine, Apprentice of the Heart. So the word radio in the coupon field, and then hit the button, apply, and you're good to go.
Well, that's very gracious of you, and I really appreciate that. And I think just like Chris is going to find when she gets her free copy, the timing, I mean, I think one of the things we're talking about is the connection with divine love, the connection with the universe, the connection with spirit. There are no accidents. The timing of things, the timing of her turning on the radio when she did, the timing of the fact that she chose to call in was the caller that gets the book. I really believe that it is about the next step for us, and that this will be the next step for any people that that choose, you know, there are so many teachers out there, Guy, that in my opinion are often teaching the same thing, but they're using different vocabulary, they're taking a different approach, and different teachers resonate with different people. And the beauty of what you're doing is you're putting it in a form that resonates to you and resonates to the people that listen to it. And it's like Chris said, if you take God out of a lot of the things in the Bible and put nature in, then it works for her. And it's the same thing that I talked about with Course in Miracles, Science of Mind, Christian Science, and every one of the world's religions teach love and peace.
And yes, the basic premise behind not only the power that is mentioned in these various scriptural traditions, but the promise in it as well, has to do with the fact that no matter where we're born, color, creed, nationality, yada yada, that each of us has in us something that is capable of being, and I use the word rekindled. I talk about the idea that within us there lives something in the center of each of our hearts that has been, if you will, pushed aside, put to sleep, made secondary to a host of purposes that we were sort of handed at birth that told us if we would do what the world told us to do, that we would fulfill the promise of ourselves. And all of us, at least to some degree, and perhaps hopefully more than ever before, are starting to recognize that this is an empty promise, that the world in itself, there's nothing wrong with it per se, but if we look to the world outside of ourselves, and of course to that miasmic world of thoughts and feelings inside of ourselves, if we look to that to fill ourselves, we're missing the bet. Because as human beings, and this is to the last part of the book, we're not intended, Stuart, to be self-filling creatures. We are not intended to fill ourselves with love, not intended even to go out and search for it the way we do, although these parts of our path in life do lead us eventually to recognizing that that doesn't work. But all of that activity of trying to fix ourselves when the winter of the heart comes, trying to re-stimulate ourselves, find new things to be thrilled about, that's a mistake. Because the fact that we run into the barriers that we do, the losses that we have, these moments in our lives are indicators of where that level of ourself has gone as far as it can go with what it is. And that if we want to have something broader and deeper, more true and loving in our life, then we have to recognize that that level of ourself has indeed been brought to that lesson by love for the purpose not of letting go of a person or a place, but of that part of ourself that can't go beyond what it understands at that moment. Mm-hmm. Then there's a true letting go, a true rebirth in the real meaning of the word, and out comes from such moments a new order of ourselves that's better capable, more empowered to be in the relationship with love and life that we have this feeling we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Which means getting back to the essence of who we are instead of living and buying into all of the belief systems and behavior patterns that we've accumulated since birth.
Yes, but it's a road. I mean,
yep.
You know, if you get dropped into a bath, your body absorbs the water, and we're born into a world that has a lot of mistaken ideas in it, created by mistaken human beings, perhaps for the intention of keeping us from understanding what our authentic nature actually is.
Let's turn this a little bit to, because I always like to end the show with something on a very practical level, and that's the way you end your book also. The final chapter actually talks about steps from the way I look at it, or at least a few things that people need to pay attention to or things that could guide them. What are some of the practical things that you say in that last chapter that might help some of our listeners?
Well, you know, it was very interesting. It kind of flew by. But when the caller, Chris, when she called in, she said something very, very pertinent. She said that she has found that the more she pays attention to these things, the more things in life she sees that corresponds to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much the case when it comes to love and developing in ourselves that which love makes possible. At the end of the book, I talk to the reader about what we can do as men and women to rediscover and re-experience the ignition in our own hearts of this love and its new energies and its new promise that all of us really long for. And it says that, and this is, I wish sometimes I could be right there, right in front of every person that's listening to us so I could say this and they'd see that how I mean it. It doesn't matter what has happened to us in our past. I tell you that the past is absolutely powerless over us except for the parts of us that call on it and return to it to define us. I don't know and can't tell you as listeners what's happened in your life, but I can tell you that in you now lives something that is present and that has power. And that if you will simply take one little thing, maybe you wanted to do what? Be an artist. Maybe you wanted to learn a new language or get a degree. Maybe you wanted to ride horses. I don't care what it is. Our minds tell us, I really did, but you know what? I wasn't smart enough, or now I don't have time. I got a family. I got to make more money. Yada yada. That goes on. All we have to do is just start each day. If all we can afford is 1 minute to give our attention to that which is drawing us to consider it, drawing us to enter into its life, 1 minute a day. That 1 minute will give us the energy and the insight for 2 minutes the next day. I know this beyond the shadow of a doubt, Stuart, that what we give our hearts to, in turn, vivifies, replenishes our hearts so that we have more to give the next day. That's the great secret of love. Love rewards the lover with more capacity to love. So take one thing in your life that you wanted to do, that you hoped to understand, and begin to cultivate it. Just like planting a seed in a garden, every day, if it's higher thought you're interested in, spiritual ideas, just take a few minutes every day and ponder something, and you will be amazed at what begins to be born in you, new energy, new understanding, and a new relationship with what you love.
Beautifully put. And in line with the title of the show, Tell the Truth Faster, a lot of us are holding desires in us. A lot of us are holding dreams or even ideas for products or ideas for businesses and things like that. But we're so afraid of what others are going to think if we put it out there. And to me, the most important thing is, which is why this show is called Tell the Truth Faster, is to be able to acknowledge it, to speak it to yourself, to speak it within yourself, to let it connect with that power you're calling love, and to be able to speak it out loud to another human being and not be concerned about their judgment.
I knew a great man. I had the wonderful fortune, Stuart, of working with an author. His name was Vernon Howard for almost 15 years before he passed away. And he taught this simple idea. He said that this life is not a race to win, but it is a school for our higher education. And when we really start to understand that, not just philosophically, but we're willing to learn the truth of it, you learn that you cannot fail. Love guarantees that any human being who will attempt to enter into or develop that which he or she is drawn to, that no matter what happens, each and every moment, that relationship will be expanded. So regardless of the way the world looks at us, we as individuals will learn little by little by little through this blending, through this unity, through this marriage that love makes possible, so that our actual nature grows. We actually are expanded by our wish to learn the truth of no matter what it is. And as you said, we must not be afraid based on our past experience, but rather trust, even if it's only intuitively, that there is indeed this greater love that isn't concerned with what we have been, but with rather helping us let go of these wrong ideas we have about ourselves so that we can become over and over again new human beings for love's sake.
Well, I apply this to my own life recently because I have had the idea of a book within myself called Tell the Truth Faster. And I finally asked a friend to come over for me to start talking about it with him, to start actually, you know, speaking about how I see it structured, and all of a sudden it's unfolding, and all of a sudden he's committed to, in a sense, coaching me, to call me weekly. What have you gotten done? How much have you gotten done? Have you not gotten anything done? You know, where do you need to, what's your next step? And sometimes a good, friendly coach.
Right. One thing's for sure, Stuart, if we don't start, nothing will start.
Exactly. and I'll admit that this has been in me for 15 years.
Yes, good.
You know, and, you know, here I've been teaching this stuff too, but, you know, there are dreams that I've been allowing to linger inside when holding myself back from moving them forward has diminished me in many ways.
Part of what love allows us to do is to begin to gain a certain kind of insight into ourselves that once before, having not understood this, we may have been afraid of ourselves. For instance, I start to think, I would really like to do whatever it is that, like, for instance, maybe I want to write a book. Let's say I'm you. But inside of me, without understanding it, there are all these parts that have no interest in allowing me to begin that process of exploration because, believe it or not, they recognize that in the light of that discovery, they're going to have to change. So they see us with a certain kind of resistance, these parts of ourselves. When we realize that the most powerful words, the most three most powerful words maybe in the English language are, I can learn, then we understand that nothing can stop us on this process of discovery, and that every step we're willing to take in the name of wishing to learn more about ourselves and understand this process that love makes for us, that then we realize that we are purified every step of the way because lessons come, and for those lessons, we find ourselves having learned the next higher and truer part of ourselves in them.
Yes, definitely. And in this last chapter, I want to emphasize what you just said. I want to read a very short passage here.
Please.
And on page 141, it says, don't be the least concerned if you can't seem to find the time or the energy to get going because of life's seemingly endless duties to friends and family. Drop these punishing and false ideas. Listen instead to this promise that love makes to anyone willing to draw near enough to hear her whisper, her secret. Do what you must to make time, and you will see that the energy you need to succeed will be given to you. And to me, that's about the leap of faith. It's about trust.
Well, in a way, it goes back to relationship,
mm-hmm.
that we as human beings are created with the power to choose. Because you know what? People would be surprised how much time and energy they waste not wanting the life they have. And instead of not wanting the life they have, if they could turn around and recognize that life wants them to have something good and true, then they could begin to use their attention not on these negative voices, these fearful parts, but placing it where the human being wants to go, which is higher and deeper. Then, for the new attention, comes new realizations. For the new realizations, new possibilities.
Great. Time is moving to the end of this hour, and I want to thank you truly for being on the show, for taking the time on your Saturday to, you know, share a lot of this wisdom and this direction that people can get by reading your book, Apprentice of the Heart, Lessons in Life Only Love Can Teach by Guy Finley. I want to remind people that you can go to his website, www.guyfinley.com. That's G-U-Y-S as in Frank, I-N-L-E-Y.com, to order the book and get the discount that he mentioned earlier, and get the weekly support that he's mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
is there anything else you want to say in closing here before I read another passage from your book?
Just this, because not everybody's on a computer. If a person simply writes to me at Box 10, Merlin, like the Wizard of Old, Oregon, Box 10, Merlin, Oregon, 97532. If you'll just write to me, we'll send you the poster we talked about. That way, and also a catalog so you can learn about this. If you're not online, Guy Finley, Box 10, Merlin, Oregon, 97532.
And Also, if you weren't able to write that down, you can call the station at KXAM for that information, and that would be another way to do this. Guy, thank you so much. I'd love to have you on the show again in the future if you're so inclined.
Oh, yes. Let's plan on it.
Stuart. Okay, good. And I want to read something that to me is, it's on page 61 of your book, and to me it's a great daily affirmation, prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it, but it's just a really, it's really beautiful written. It really moved me. And it reads, "Before I dream, may I hope for you. Before I long, may I reach for you. Before I judge, may I listen to you. Before I rush, may I rest with you. Before I shout, may I call on you. Before I doubt, may I hear from you. Before I brag, may I point to you. Before I fear, may I trust in you. Before I act, may I remember you, so that in these things, in all I do, it is not me that is first, but always you." That is, to me, the essence of the book, the essence of what the show's about that you've been on today, and for those of you who've been listening to today, it's the essence to me of what therapy is about. It's about listening to the love inside you and that's around you that is you. There is no difference or differentiation between spirit. We are spirit. And anything that takes you away from that knowledge, of course, in Miracles calls it an illusion, but it could also be just a sense of fear. So if you're stuck, if you know that there's more that you're here to do, get yourself a copy of Apprentice of the Heart by Guy Finley, Lessons in Life Only Love Can Teach. Guy, thank you so much.
My great pleasure, Stuart, and I look forward to talking to you again.
I know we will. And for those of you listening, thanks for listening. Please tell your friends about it. If you want more information or you want to let someone listen to this show, it'll be archived in within the next week or so at tellthetruthfaster.com. The last 2 years of shows I've had on there, everything's free. And I thank you all for listening. This is Stuart Altshuler with Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM 1310 in Phoenix.